cliffcentral.com. Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindy Q, the good things guy. I told you I was going to bring Tay-Tay back from New York.
You did.
In a version.
Where is she?
In an album. She's on my Apple Music. So this is the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour. And we get to hang out with you every Tuesday and bring you the good stuff, happiness around South Africa and the world. Today we're going to be catching up on my MKRSA journey so far. Made it to the top four, yo.
You won.
Yeah, we'll get into that now. Also going to be digging into our current affairs. I don't know if you guys have heard about something called Mugabe, or Miso Horny, which is a little restaurant that's opened in Melville that's caused so much mayhem in South Africa. And the good news there, we're going to unpack it. We're going to try to find it. We're going to be speaking about that. What else are we doing, Kay? We're also going to be bringing you the top five good news stories. We do that every single week. Plus, Kay and I will get to chat to Stones and Bones, a Gauteng-based Afro-rock duo consisting of KG Bones on vocals, synth and dex, and CJ Stones on sax, guitar and vocals. They're going to be live in studio, just hanging out with us and telling us who they are and where they're from. They've just released a new single, which is pretty damn cool. And I can tell you, future forward South Africa. They're young, up-and-coming artists that are doing great things, and we have them here live in studio today. I'm excited. Listen up and get inspired. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com or Brent Lindy Q or Kerry Stein. Is it Stein or Stein?
Stein.
I do this every week.
Yes, you do. It's okay.
Well, it's fine because you butcher every other person's surname and name in the history of your news reports.
That's right.
So we'll just butcher yours as well. Then it's fair game for everybody. You can also chat to us via our official WeChat accounts, or you can call us on 0861-555-189. We want to hear from you. We want to speak to you. We've also got a WhatsApp number, which Kerry knows off by heart.
079-748-2090.
You know, like when you're in school and you have a teacher that's quite vicious, and when they get something wrong, they slap you on the hand with a ruler.
Yeah.
We had to do that to Kerry so that she could learn the WhatsApp number, because it like went in the one ear, out the other one. It took weeks and weeks of training, but eventually she got it right. Eventually she remembered what the number was, and now she's the official number caller. She even stays here for other shows.
So why now people need to WhatsApp us, okay?
Okay, just WhatsApp us. Eh? If you have any questions, if you want to get involved, it's that simple. I've got a screen here so we can see what's going on. Let's get straight into it. I mean, we're already 5 minutes into the show. I don't know where that happened or how that went down. Tell me what's going on with the charity stuff. We're working towards Christmas. We're working towards doing these Christmas parties. You've, during the year of being on The Good Stuff, you've got to meet some amazing people that you've connected with. What is going on with our Good Stuff Christmas party?
Well, on the 2nd of December, which is next week, Saturday, we're having a massive Christmas party in Dipsuit for 400 children. And I've actually been quite overwhelmed with people donating and donating goods, their time, stuff from their business on behalf of their businesses. And it's just been, I mean, it's been amazing. They are 400 orphans that attend this school in Dipsuit. And
basically, so it's important, man.
It's very, very important. It's just to show them love and good, I mean, good stuff, you know, because like we've been chatting to our other guests from Santa Shoebox Project. It's about making them feel loved and that they have purpose. So next week, Saturday, that's what it's about. It's a party for them, especially. And, we're still collecting at this stage, you know, non-perishable food items, stationery. What else do we need? Hygiene products. Those are pretty much the things that we need.
Yeah, it's important, man. There's a lot of stuff that, that you can get involved in. And it's pretty simple.
And we're excited. We're very, very excited for it next week, Saturday. So that's what I'm doing.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm cooking.
Tell me. Are you cooking again?
Sure. So when Andrew and I entered the competition, we never believed that we'd make it as far as we have.
Mm.
And it's been such an incredible journey, such an amazing adventure. If you have the opportunity, enter a reality show. Or enter a game show. Or like, you know, it's just, it's the maddest thing, and I never knew that I would be put in this position. I've learned so much about myself through the process. And Sunday was tough. Sunday was really, really tough. There were all these celebs that had been invited to a high afternoon tea.
A high tea. You won the high tea.
Yeah, the gay guy won the high tea. Surprise.
Surprise.
No, man. It was hectic. Have you ever cooked for, I'm going to say 180 people because it was 90 portions of one and 90 portions of the other. Have you ever cooked for 180
never,
people?
I would never attempt to cook for that many people.
It was really, 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 really tough to think about what you're going to make and how you're going to plan it so that you can make all of it in time and have enough portions for everybody.
That is a lot of people, Brent. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
And also, it's the likes of like Anele and Edith Fenter. It was stressful.
High profile. So you can't mess it up.
No. So what Andrew and I decided to do, we were going to cook two things. The one was, I'm not going to call it safe, but like, I'm the cheesecake king of South Africa.
You really are.
Yeah.
And there are still many people waiting for your cheesecake, just an FYI.
No. When we walked into the studio today, Gareth was asking for it, and Ben and Dory and everybody in the studio, they're like, they want cheesecake. So we've got a staff meeting this week. I'm going to make a bit of cheesecake. I'll bring it with. You guys can all share. You can fight over it.
Okay.
I know cheesecake, and I know how to make it, and I love it. And we decided to do a little twist on a cheesecake, so it wasn't exactly the same.
Ooh.
It was a little cheesecake bite, baked a little bit differently, with a caramel sauce that was homemade on top of it. And on top of that was a candied almond. So you've got your yumminess, you've got your sauce, and you've got your crunch.
And
all in one.
It's the right size.
One little bite.
And it's high tea size, yeah.
So we weren't going to play, I'm not going to say play it safe. We were planning on making something really beautiful that I know that people would enjoy.
Mm.
But you want to win, right?
Of course.
You want to win. So on the other hand, we decided to go completely out there and make something that was vegetarian. Very different.
Oh my goodness.
Roasted grapes that had been roasted in a balsamic glaze.
Roasted grapes.
And a little tartlet with goat cheese and the roasted grapes and some micro herbs and a little bit of walnuts over it.
That sounds amazing. I'm not going to lie.
And, you know, when we were busy with the process and you're looking at everybody else's dishes, it's nerve-wracking because everybody was making this incredible stuff.
It's all internal, having a heart attack.
It's scary. It's scary stuff. And then we had to serve. So you actually had to walk out to all these tables and greet and meet and give your food away.
Mm.
And then the majority of everybody voted for us.
I think that's amazing.
It was an insane feeling. In the past, in the different episodes and the different challenges that we've had, like when we did the pizza challenge, I hated it. And I knew that we were gonna not be anywhere on the top because we'd made crazy decisions that were risky at the time and we thought it would take us somewhere, but it actually didn't, and we were at the bottom. And when you know you're at the bottom, it's a cuck feeling.
Yeah.
When you know you haven't done right, it's really not a nice feeling.
And then you're in poop.
But then, like, the country challenge, I thought we'd won. I'd, like, had this really, because we had so many people around our stand.
Mm.
And we were meant to make, I don't know, it was, I can't even remember because it was a couple of weeks ago. But we were supposed to make, like, 100 portions. And Andrew and I landed up making, like, 200 because people just kept on coming and coming and wanting more and eating more.
But that's not a bad thing.
No, but that's why I thought we'd won. I thought, like, we'd really done well.
Because you've done so many.
And a lot of people had dropped tokens into our little bin. Like, that's how they voted. Yes. So I'm sure we came second out of that. But that's a different feeling to stand and get that critique because you almost know that you did okay.
Yes.
But because you're in this competition environment, and it is My Kitchen Rules, you still doubt yourself.
I would be a wreck.
You know, at the moment, I mean, we're going into the semifinals this week.
I know, that's why I'd be a wreck.
I'm not sure if I can make a cup of coffee properly. Like, I'm nervous as all hell.
That's why my anxiety would be right through the roof.
But if there's one thing that Andrew and I started during My Kitchen Rules and our process from the beginning, our main mantra is to have fun.
And are you having fun, Brent?
I'm having so much fun.
I can see
It's really, the whole vibe is, it's an adventure for Andrew and myself. You know, winning would be amazing. To get the title,
yeah.
To get the money,
yeah.
To get all of those things. but also it's about the process and about the adventure. So every episode, every challenge, everything we've been through thus far has been incredible. And we're heading into semi-finals on Sunday, and I'm ready to win. I've got, you know, adventure, have fun, but still game face on.
And bucket list stuff.
Bucket list stuff. We've just gone on live. So if anybody has any questions, they can just tweet us or Facebook us or...
And congratulations for getting this far.
Oh, man. One of our listeners, four listeners, sent us a message going that they want cheesecake too. You know what I'm going to do?
You should open a patisserie.
Not even a patisserie.
Cheesecake shop.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a social media bake-off as soon as the show is done, because I'm quite exhausted. I need like a little bit of a break. So I think we finish on the 10th of December.
Yes.
Maybe in Jan, I'm going to do like a cheesecake day. And you can tweet and Facebook and we'll do special deliveries of cheesecake.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Goodness. Do you know what you're getting yourself into here?
No, man. It'll be fun. Okay. It'll be fun.
Let's do it.
It'll be like an Uber Eats, but yes. It's a Brent Eats.
A Brent Eats cheesecake.
Brent Eats cheesecake what?
Yeah.
Just saying. So that's the show. What else is happening in South Africa, Joburg? What? Ah! Do you remember the Joburger?
Yes.
Do you remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
So, 23-year-old, South African. I'm guessing he's from Joburg since he calls himself the Joburger.
Yes.
Unless his surname's Burger and his name's Joe.
Mm.
We just don't know.
No.
We just don't know. So, the Joburger went to this. I'm guessing he immigrated to London, or he's gone there for like a year of work or something, because he's only been there for 3 months. He's already calling everybody mate, though. So
maybe
I think
he's finding himself.
He's finding himself, and he's become quite English. He started his Facebook page, and he asked the question. Very candid, very funny. It was as a white person, what would you say to a black person?
Yes.
And then a black person, what would you say white? And then everybody, what would you say to an Indian? Mm. And it was this whole unpacking racism. With our beautiful sense of humor, because South Africans have a beautiful sense of humor.
That blew up social media.
It went huge.
Yes.
It was everywhere.
Yes, it was.
In Bloom, I was in Bloom this weekend, and somebody took me aside, because they now know that I'm the good things guy.
Mm.
And they're like, have you met the Joburger? And I was like, no, he's in London.
Yes.
I haven't been to London since June. Like...
Calm down. Just calm down, okay?
Calm here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's well known in South Africa, and he really did go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now taking all of those questions and all of the answers and turning it into a book.
I think that's awesome.
He's turning it into a book. And it's like a Christmassy coffee table, booky vibe.
And totally South African.
It's totally South African. And really funny. It's really humorous. Some of the things that people were saying was just off the charts. And from that, apparently, all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, are going to charity.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. He's decided that this is what he wants to do. And he wants to give back. And I think that's rad. Like, doing good. He's got this platform now. I think he's got like 170,000 followers on Facebook. And yeah, the book is called Hashtag SA Unite.
I think, wow.
And majority of the profits will go to two amazing charities. I don't know what they are yet. So we're going to find out what the charities are. Maybe it's like the Human Rights Commission or just helping reconcile South Africa.
Regardless of what it is, he's giving it to charity.
Ah,
charity
lekker.
Is charity.
So the Joburger is lekker. Mr. Joe Burger, you've really just done something really cool, and it's cool. Like, I think it's rad.
I love that, and it's just before Christmas.
Just before Christmas. Also in Joburg, unveiled, what is the date today?
It is the 21st.
So, listen to this, Kay. I decided a while ago that I will not subscribe to, like, a normal week, because it's 2017. I work 7 days a week.
Yes,
I'm always on.
Yeah,
you'll catch me. I mean, Good Things Guy is live every day.
I don't know how you do it.
There's like 15 stories there. I'm busy every day. Plus, I'm doing Cliff Central. Plus, there's a bit of TV stuff. So there's always something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my days are crazy,
jam packed.
I don't get a weekend. Mm-mm. I don't have a Saturday, Sunday. So I've decided that every every day from now on, and I thought about this at the beginning of the year, every day to me is a Friday, because that means that the week has ended, and that means that the weekend is coming.
So Friday, every day.
So today is Cliff Central Friday.
Okay.
So I've got different Fridays.
Yes.
I live my life by Fridays.
Okay.
But what that means, because I don't subscribe to day-to-day stuff, mm-hmm. is I never know what date it is. I don't know the dates. I don't know what date it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, man, they were laughing at me so hard. We were in a conversation, and I was trying to explain like the class of whatever, like matriculants mm-hmm. class of, and I couldn't remember the year.
Of your, when you matriculated?
No, I couldn't remember this year.
Oh.
I could not, what year is it? 2017.
Yes.
And I in the conversation, I kept on going, the class of, the matriculants of, it's 2018? Is it, what's the year? And everybody was laughing at me. They thought it was such a joke.
But doesn't that make you feel disorientated?
No.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I'm a bit of a hippie, actually.
I'm the opposite, though. I'm a little bit OCD.
Just floating around. So another thing that happened, and I now know this because I actually wrote the story. It happened last night.
Mm.
Monday, the 20th of November.
Beautiful.
2017. You know what I'm going to talk about? Is it one of our good news stories?
No.
Let me just check. Okay. I'm just making sure. So they... In New York City,
yes,
in the financial district,
mm.
they've got this massive, massive raging bull that's famous, that's there. And at one point, they put a little girl in front of the bull.
Mm, that's right.
To represent children and good things and hope and all of those great things. Joburg has done the same. UNICEF, and I just want to get the actual facts here. UNICEF launched it on Monday night on Children's Day. And it's a little girl in front of the Nelson Mandela statue in Nelson Mandela Square.
It's beautiful. And I haven't seen it in person yet.
So her name is Hope.
Yes.
And emulating Madiba's dance, she's a symbol of hope.
Yes.
Of infectious joy and innocence. She looks back at her hero, who is Madiba, whose legacy and achievements will inspire and guide her and us and all children into the future. Named Hope for her celebration and defense of children's rights, the statue takes a bold stance for children's potential to build our country's future. She represents children's strength and resilience, their joy and confidence, their courage and conviction. Most importantly, she stands for their dreams and ambitions, a future where children are cherished and protected. It's flipping beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Like, the statue is so rad. It's such a nice addition to that area,
but
I think.
But it gives you a sense of, it almost gives you a sense of peace and hope.
So here's the reality is Nelson Mandela has been passed away for a couple of years.
Yes.
He hasn't been president of our country for many years.
That's right.
But there's hope.
There is hope.
There's just so much hope.
And I mean that duo over there now in Mandela Square is just, I mean, it just shows what our country is capable of, the possibilities and
totally.
Our future, I think.
Completely. Our future, our country, our continent. Next door to us, our fellow Zimbabweans are going through traumatic time at the moment. They're marching, they're protesting.
But unified. Peaceful.
Very peaceful, eh?
Yes.
Those protests are just people that are going, I'm hatful.
It's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. When I saw those images for the first time, I was completely blown away.
Yeah, and now there's all this talk about when he falls and when Robert Mugabe, when he steps down eventually, how apparently, and I don't know if this is a myth, maybe some of our followers can tell us, but apparently there's a whole big slush fund. Countries are just waiting to come and assist Zimbabwe.
You know how I see it as, you know, we're going through drought in Cape Town. Like the rains, when the rains come, and then everything just blossoms. That's how I see Zim.
Yeah.
Do you
it's
see?
A good way.
It's
a good
going
way.
To be beautiful.
So we're watching that story. We're making sure that that we're on top of it. And when the good news breaks, we will break it for you. Hashtag breaking news. I'm talking about Cape Town and the drought. So today is forecast. I think there's like an 80% chance of rain that's forecast for today. But yesterday, Patricia de Lille, the city's executive mayor, she made a statement about how amazing and how thankful she is that Capetonians have really worked hard to get to that 87 litres a day that they've been working towards. There are plans in place with desalination plants and all sorts of different plans that they put in place.
Yeah.
But they had forecast something called Day Zero.
Yes.
Day Zero would be the day when all the taps would turn off in Cape Town. Every single tap would turn off in Cape Town. And at their usage before they went down to 87 litres a day, and I must tell you, I've got friends in Cape Town. I've recently been to Cape Town. It's not easy.
No.
87 litres is not easy.
No.
I had to shower, get in the shower, switch the water on, wet myself, then switch the water off, and then have a full shower. Like, you can have a good 5-minute shower. Scrub your nails, put the soap, but there's no water running down. So just soap, wash your hair, soap, get a bit of soap in your eyes, soap, and then you turn the water back on, and then you rinse and turn that water off.
With the bucket in the shower.
That's what I was about to say. So there's 3 buckets in the shower to catch as much water as possible, and then you use those 3 buckets 3 times to go to the loo. That you can use those buckets then. But think about now in Joburg. Joburg's not out of a drought. We believe we are because it's summer and we got a bit of rain. We've still got hectic water trouble.
Restrictions.
But you go shower. This morning, how long was your shower? Realistically. I won't shout at you. How long was your shower?
I didn't shower this morning. I bathed.
And, you know, a bath in Cape Town is such a big no-no.
I know.
Like a no-no.
I bathed this morning. But just on that point.
Don't try to justify it.
No. On that point, when I bathed, I took buckets and I filled the cistern for the toilet. I do that now because I have had no water at my house before. And it's very scary.
It's very scary.
And then I saw how much water it takes, how many buckets it takes to fill my cistern.
Okay. So currently, Day Zero was going to be the 1st of March 2018, which meant that Cape Town literally only had 3 months of water left at the current usage of 87 litres a day.
Oof.
3 months. But somehow, because people have been saving a little bit more, because people have been doing a little bit more without rain, without the desalination plants that come online in February, Day Zero has now moved to the 13th of May. They've added like a month and a half.
There you go.
Plus, it's going to rain, like today it's raining.
Yes.
And the desalination plants come online in February. So, like, good things for Cape Town.
There's hope.
Maybe we should put little girl statues everywhere. Yes. No, but that's cool, man. I'm glad to hear that. The last story that I want to do in the catch-up of the news is a story that started in Melville, Johannesburg. And it blew up so massively that it was on Mashable and CNN and all over the place for all the wrong reasons. And I don't want to focus on those reasons. I'm not about cultural appropriation. I'm a white male, so I've got no legs to stand and talk about another culture. Mm. I don't have the rights for that. I can speak about a white male. Do you want to talk about a white male?
No, not really.
Because we can do that.
No, it's okay.
But what? It's the owners of a club in Johannesburg called Toy Toy. I shouldn't actually give them any airtime. But they opened a restaurant, a miso ramen bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it Miso Horny.
Oh, dear.
Which, I mean, for a number of reasons. It's so bad. It's so bad. Cultural appropriation. It's mocking the Asian culture. It's...
Exactly.
There's a couple things here. Prostitution was a huge problem during the wars and even now.
And in that particular area as well.
Correct. So that it's mocking another human for not being able to speak correct English. It just ticks all the boxes of how to be a cuck human. And they thought it was really funny, like what a cool pun, because they're 2 white guys.
Yeah.
And here's the good news. And this
news flash.
This is what I want to focus on.
Yes.
There's 2 food bloggers who are Asian from South Africa. And I promise you, Care. The way that they wrote, the things that they said, it was like, I'm going to teach you in layman's terms how to be a nice person. And I'm going to show you what you've done wrong. Because when everything first came out, the 2 guys were defending what they'd done.
Mm.
They were like, no, we did this. This is us. Look at us.
And are they even familiar with the culture?
No, apparently what they're serving is not even part of it. So there's a whole discussion under that. But the reality is, and the good news here that I think is incredible, is that once these 2 lovely young writers took to social media to express themselves, South Africans from all walks of life who it wasn't even in their frame of reference. They might have been laughing about it, whatever, whatever, whatever. They all came on board and they were all like, actually, these oaks are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wrong. And it's not funny.
Love it.
And I love that we're able to look inward, and it just takes one person to make a difference. One tweet.
That's very
true. One social conversation to really make a difference in society.
And so many people are scared to do it. But there's always that one.
And these two ladies were it.
That's incredible.
So, man, that's all our news that we have for this week in our catch up. But every week we do have the top five trending good news stories, where we bring you the stories that matter, the things that you should be speaking about, all of those great and wonderful conversations that you should be rather speaking about at the dinner table instead of, everything that mainstream media pushes. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear about that. So, Kerry, what do we have at number five?
A South African company has just launched 7 free online courses to build digital skills, including digital literacy, entrepreneurship, and cybersecurity. So, as part of its commitment to support the workforce of the future, the Youth Ambassador Program, Cisco, today announced the release of 7 free self-enroll online courses to help South Africans to develop their digital skills.
100% free. There is no catch here.
Which I think is amazing, because if you see what's going on in society, and especially the underprivileged areas, something like this there's huge value in this, and I think it's amazing.
Well, one of the courses that I really, 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 really am excited for, and it's really cool that that it's free, is entrepreneurial skills. I think if we can make more entrepreneurs in South Africa, the change that we could make is just, it's massive. It's really, really big.
That will be the turning point in many of these different communities. So I think what these guys are doing is it's future. It is the future, and other companies should be following suit.
100%. We're going to put that story up online so that you can get the news. And top good news number five. So we'll put it up online. What do we have at number four?
South African-born retired plumber Ben John has been building toilets in Sierra Leone, where 70% of the 7 million people live below the poverty line. So he's a retired plumber, and he's changing the rural world one toilet at a time.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Go back to that stat. 70%?
70% of the 7 million people live below the poverty line. So if you have ever been into an informal settlement or a rural development, you will know firsthand what this article is about. So what this man is doing is incredible.
Can we replicate that for South Africa?
We most certainly can. We really, really can.
So who's going to do that?
Funnily enough, there are a few, and our Huddle Up girls as well. They've been on a mission as well in terms of toilets, cleaning toilets, building toilets, putting toilets in areas that don't have.
I love putting people to task. So I like this story, and I think it's great that he's making a difference anywhere in the world. Everybody needs it. But I want to put you to task, Kerry. Me? I want you to find. Okay. I want you to find the South African version of what he's doing.
Okay, it's a deal.
That's your job, and you need to report back next week, Tuesday.
It's a deal.
For reals, eh?
For real.
Put that in your diary. You need to report back next week, Tuesday.
That's good.
I want the South African version. And if there isn't a South African version, then we need to make one.
In 7 days. We've got 7 days to create a toilet mission.
All I'm saying, we're going to put that story up online. What do we have at number three?
Here's how to take 8 days leave in 2018 and be away from the office for 17 consecutive days.
It's Kerry's number one story. Holiday!
No, but that's what I'm saying, because obviously now you need to, even though it's the December holidays coming up, you need to start preparing. So the other day I was looking at the calendar for 2018, you know, school holidays and all of that, because
yes,
you need to plan ahead.
Yes.
And I got a thought in my head, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have planned the first 3 months of next year already.
Oh, wow.
No, it's crazy. And it's just happened like that.
So are you using that calendar that I wrote about?
I don't work in corporate.
But I mean, you can. Yeah,
I can put it to use. So the 2018 public holiday calendar is like a gift that keeps on giving. By taking just 8 days leave in April, you could get 17 days of vacation.
Nice. We're going to put that up online so that see the dates and you can start planning. What do we have? I don't even know. Number one, number two. See, I am concentrating.
Community step up to throw.
Shouldn't think that was funny.
I'm laughing on the inside.
Community step up to throw a little girl a massive birthday party.
Okay, so I put myself in this position because I have a child this exact same age. And a broken mom going through an incredibly tough financial time was about to sit her 5-year-old daughter down to explain to her why she wouldn't be getting anything for her birthday this year, when an entire community stepped up to share a little love and kindness, and they put an entire birthday party together for her, and she wanted for nothing.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and we're going to put the story up online. Like you just said, as a mom, to sit your kid down and be like, listen, you're very special, but this year we just can't celebrate your birthday. Because mommy doesn't have money or a job. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that to a kid that they'll understand? Because it doesn't.
I cannot even begin to imagine what that must feel like.
It's
I can't.
Really, really tough. What do we have at number one? We're going to put the story up online so that people can read it.
The Cape Town Desalination Project, an infographic of how it will all work. So we've had this discussion already at the beginning.
At the beginning?
At the beginning of our stories. With drought and ever-present threats, the city of Cape Town has approved plans to build a plant to turn salty water into potable water.
Yes, potable water.
Potable water. And, I mean, it's a huge thing. That's massive. It's like water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
Yep.
That's exactly what's happening. So with the desalination plants, they will be able to turn the salty seawater... that has all sorts of noo-noos in it anyway, to turn it into drinking water.
It's really exciting stuff. We're going to put that story up online so that you guys can read about the desalination plant, how it works, how we're going to get water to you. It's an incredible initiative. Really exciting stuff. Quick question before we bring our guys in. Mm-hmm. Someone wants to know about My Kitchen Rules. Do you and Andrew always agree on your menu choices? Like when they spring on you, okay, today is high tea day. Do you just put together your ideas and draw two from a hat? Or do you nail it down? Who has the final say? So I must say, Andrew and I are incredibly intuitive with each other. We work really well as a team. And there is a discussion. So as soon as the task gets given, we sort of take a step back, take a couple of minutes just to work out what it is that we want to make, how we want people to feel. I don't think up to this point in the competition, and I mean we're in week 13 or something stupid, we've never had a disagreement on the food we're going to make. I will suggest something and Andrew might be like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. What about this? And I'll be like, oh, that's way better. Let's make that. And it doesn't always work out. So Robs, if you remember the pizza challenge, we decided to make the ingredients, like Andrew had said, okay, so chicken prawn curry on the one, and I'd done a banoffee on the other as a dessert pizza. And at the last minute, I suggested that we do cones. And Andrew backed me on it because he thought it would be such a great idea. And it's risky and it's out there. And it completely flopped. It was the wrong choice and we shouldn't have done it. But we made that decision together. And it was the both of us that we just work really well together, I think. How does it look on TV? Do we?
Food is emotional.
You're emotional. This is the good stuff on Clip Central. If this works, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm wondering, can we still be friends? Can we still be friends? All I want to know, Kerry, can we still be friends?
We can be friends, Brent.
Can we still be friends?
We can still be friends, even if you tell me I'm emotional.
You are emotional. You're an emotional wreck all the time.
Yes.
We've got a couple of nice guys in studio, Stones and Bones. They're not a couple. They're just a couple of nice guys.
What's up?
They are in what they call an Afro-rock duo based in, I think, Pretoria. You guys are from the 012, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You're from Pretoria. They're not millennials. We've just found out during the break. They are Xennials. And do you know what an Xennial is?
We've clarified this.
When?
The what?
An Xennial.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Okay, but how are you an Xennial? You can't just say I'm an Xennial.
We're not a millennial. We were born before that.
Jeepers, she is profound. An Xennial is someone that has grown up without social media and without that constant constant sort of cell phones. Like
we know life. We know life.
No, we do, because we used to play in the mud and we would be kids and all that crap. And other kids now, I've seen 3-year-olds on iPads.
It's so sad.
Where they're flicking the iPads. Around. Whereas we didn't have that. I got a cell phone in high school, but it literally all it could do was phone.
That's right.
Like you could
play Snake.
And you could play Snake.
Snake.
Listen, but my first cell phone didn't even have Snake. It was about, if I show you.
I think mine had Tetris.
I don't even know. It was as big as a water bottle. It was as big as a water bottle. And
it was a long aerial.
I didn't have an aerial.
Oh.
I never know. But the point is that we didn't grow up with social media, and then social media came when we were in varsity, and now we know the best of both worlds. So that's what an Xennial is.
And you know, you had to think so much about what you're going to say to someone, because an SMS cost 80 cents at that time. So you had to be
remember that.
Yeah,
that
you had to think really hard.
And you only had, on an SMS, you had 120 characters. Yes. It was less than Twitter. You really had to think about what you're going to say. Absolutely insane. You guys are not about cell phones, and you're not about millennials. You're about music.
Right.
I want to understand, first of all, what the hell is Afro rock? What is that?
Afro rock, it's...
Closer to the mic, bud. I'm going to need you to get in there.
It's a bit of a... Okay, it's like this. CJ grew up listening to a lot of rock. I grew up listening to a lot of township funk, house music. So we needed a balance.
Yeah, exactly. So it took a while to synthesize these kind of genres together. And at the start, when we started, we wanted to be the next Black Eyed Peas. But we didn't have enough talent, and we didn't have a Fergie.
As I was, there's only two of you.
And no Fergie.
You're missing two people from the crew there.
That didn't bother us at the time. But it took a while to then... We listened to all the stuff, and it's really whack. We had to become friends first and spend a lot of time in studio bringing this stuff together. And now it's... When we gig, it's like a party. You really can't believe it.
You have fun.
So how long have you guys known each other, and how did you meet?
It's been 7 years, 8 years.
2010.
And we met at a music college. We were both doing sound engineering.
Okay, so you're both in the music trade. You didn't leave your engineering job to take up Afro rock.
No. Afro rock is basically a subgenre. Under house, it's basically dance, but it has a lot of rock elements.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Electric guitars, that sort of thing. But to Foot to the Floor house beats, I don't know if you guys know what that is. I don't know if you still go out.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to say for free and for nothing, Kerry doesn't go out.
Right.
When last were you at a club?
Crickets, tweep, tweep.
Yeah, no. No. I was... I love the night, and I love experiencing new bars and clubs. And
You're a socialite.
Last week, Friday, I was in New York pumping it up until 4:30 in the morning.
That's amazing, man.
Great, great, great nights out.
Okay, you can roll with us.
And Kerry, backseat.
Thanks, guys. I'm joking. Thanks.
This will come.
until I drop it it's hot and show you how it's done.
All right, so you guys are this duo. You're in the club scene. Do you go and do you perform in the club scene?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Where do we go? Where are the different places that we're out and about at the moment?
This Sunday, we're going to be in Twanefontein. We everywhere.
Hold on, where is that?
It's in Pretoria.
It's in the
012.
It's the 012. The 012.
It's like a culture.
What did I miss something? Clearly.
We also do. So it depends where we play at. If we play at these clubs or hotels, we normally do a DJ kind of setup where we DJ this kind of mix between African and European Afro house music, and I play saxophone. Bones is on the decks and on the machine, which is like an electronic device. And then when we play the more how can we say, barish kind of venues, festivals and that, we have a live band that we play with. There's four of us.
Okay. Yeah. So you are a bit more like Black Eyed Peas, there's four of you.
Yeah.
So you got the number right. Tell me a little bit more about the new single, and that's how I met you. You guys sent a mail through to Good Things Guy.
Yes.
And we're gonna write an article on you, maybe. We'll think about
be
it.
Nice.
But the reality is, got the mail. I heard the song, I listened to it, and I just thought to myself, it's so future forward. Really at a time when there's so much talk in South Africa between races and cultures and bullshit, actually.
Yeah.
We've got a black guy and a white guy that you guys are mates and you're making good music, and it's two cultures coming together and it's beautiful. And I was like, there's no way that I can't have you in studio.
Right.
We need to be talking about that, and we need to be broadcasting your music. More people need to be listening to it and hearing it. So tell me about the new single. Where did it come from? What is it about?
Vine, you want to take this?
No, you can take it.
They're also gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole story behind how we became much better friends, but we figured that it's the one thing is to spread a positive message. It's hard nowadays. The music is also very dark, and then we decided to mix languages first thing. Half of it is in English, half of it is in Zulu. Ndlini means home, so it's kind of a love song to South Africa as being our home, and then also to the important people in our lives. I think Bono relates a bit more to that. He just got married.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And is this your first single on sort of the iTunes scene and out there, or have you had others in the past?
We've had others in the past, but the thing is, Stones and Bones, what we've been focusing too much on, like, the hood, you know, like dance music, you know, predominantly that's where it's at in SA. But then Stones and Bones is black and white, so we needed to bring both the cultures in the music. And I think with this song, this is the song that we actually got right, because we feel that it's for everyone, you know, whether you Indian, you colored, you pink.
Everybody can relate.
Yeah. Everybody can relate. Like, even if you're living overseas, you know, the thought of coming back home, Englini, you know, and for the chorus it's a mix of Zulu, and having a white guy singing in Zulu, it's pretty cool. So that was the whole point. And Stones and Bones, that's why we kept pushing and been doing this, because we had a vision of
bringing people. We said it the other day on an interview. We have this dream of having black kids and white kids making out with each other at our shows. That would be nice. But we've still got a while to go. So we also just have to give a shout out to my cousin Franks. He is the one who did some of the vocals. He's an amazing bass player, and he has the same vision as we do.
Yeah.
So that was nice to have him in studio. And then also, If Bones doesn't mind me telling the story, you know, when we started becoming friends, it was about music, and then as we went on, we just became friends. And I remember having this conversation with him about where he comes from, and I recorded that for some project I did at university at the time, and that really changed everything, because he kind of, it's just hearing the story. I'm not going to tell the details, like, cause it's quite funny.
You can tell it, bro.
Yeah, he didn't know that.
You can't start something.
Yeah, right?
You
know? Yeah.
So
it's cool.
He told me that he didn't know that white people have penises when he was young, because.
Well, that's interesting.
you just see them on television. All they saw was white people being like the Chuck Norrises and Rockies and Rambos. So they were like these kind of
buff.
Yeah.
Well, if I can just hop in, and I haven't experienced your life and I have no idea, but think of a Ken doll. Like, you've got all these white Ken dolls lying around, and none of them have got appendages. They're just sort of like,
quite right,
you know, like a mannequin.
Yeah.
So we're not going to judge. We don't judge. But he told you this, and then you fell on the floor laughing.
Yeah, and I was shocked and laughing. But it's this thing that we lack in our country is listening to each other's stories without judging and with the real empathy. And then you get this kind of understanding, you know, of the person, and a deep kind of caring that is really essential.
That
so,
is so cute.
That was
actually
quite one of the good moments. And then obviously a lot of bries and a lot of alcohol and
a lot of parties.
Well, we're about to play the song, and then I'm sure people will understand when they actually hear it, because that's the reality, is that you guys are, you can see you mates, you can see you get along, you can see you have a vision.
A lot of love.
Man, yeah. I dig it, and I think it's a cool song, and I think everybody should hear more from you. If people want to download the song, if they want to keep up to date with what you guys are doing, I know we live in an age of social media, even though you are Xennials. I'm sure you've got a Facebook or a Twitter. Yes. If you just want to send out all those details so that we can also get it out there and put it on Cliff Central, where do people get hold of you?
Instagram and Twitter at Stones Bones Band.
And then that's
for,
simple.
Yeah, at yes. Stones Bones Band. And for Facebook, just search for Stones and Bones.
Yeah, and there's a really cool video of us dancing in our gym clothes to a Black Coffee song that you can check out now. It's really funny.
It's on their social media. I've looked at it. It is quite funny.
I'm gonna go have a look as well, where you guys are performing next, and I'll organize some of those black and white couples for you making out in the front. Okay.
Did you just hear Kerry said she's coming to a bar or a club? Wow. You have pulled her out of the trenches.
Mission accomplished.
Wow, guys. Cobwebs for days.
Just before I play your song, every week I leave you with a quote. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together, and the only way we'll get through this is together. It actually makes sense to be who we are and to really shine as human beings. So be bold enough to live your life on your own terms and never ever apologize for it. Go against the grain, refuse to conform, take the road less traveled instead of the well-beaten path. Laugh in the face of adversity. I feel like this is the longest quote in the world. Dance as though everybody is watching, march to the beat of your own drummers, stubbornly refuse to fit in, but always do what is good and right. Don't be a cuck human. This is The Good Stuff on Cliff Central, and this is Stones and Bones, if I learn how to play.
Here's a little something that I was told. CliffCentral.com